on June 1st, 2004, people. It's a note, June 1st, 2004. He says, and this is cutting edge, David Bay, I believe, on May 28th, 2004, a movie entitled The Day After Tomorrow opened in theaters throughout the country. Upon seeing the movie, I realized it closely followed a book published in 2000 by Art Bell and Whitney Strieber entitled The Coming Global Superstorm. Therefore, we are reissuing this book review article for reading, and certainly that's cutting edge. The New World Order is coming. Are you ready? He says. Then we go on to see the art of propaganda. Conditioning sometimes calls for a book to be written that will prepare the people for an event planned in the future. This type of conditioning vehicle will make the planned event seem like a natural event, even when it occurs, so that no one will ever think that it might have been scripted. For decades, kids' comic books have depicted some of the most outlandish science fiction scenarios imaginable, preparing their young minds for the shock of the events soon to come. In this incredible scenario of using weather control as a social engineering tool, it is possible that the final planned event might be a continent-wide storm that would deliver such devastation that the survivors would be exceedingly panicked. They would be prepared to be convinced by their leadership that this superstorm had been a natural outgrowth of the global warming theory, and that Mother Gaia was simply cleansing herself of the unbearable strains put upon her by overpopulation and our current industrial civilization. Thus, when the president or the head of FEMA appears on radio and television to offer his plan to finally live in harmony with nature, the people will listen and be meekly obeying. At this moment, this diabolical, disgusting biodiversity map could be implemented, and it's on our website, it's on Cutting Edge website, it's by, once again, it's the Simulated Reserve and Corridor System to Protect Biodiversity. We first found it on Dr. Michael Kaufman's website. We transferred it over to our website, and I don't see where he gives credit for where it came from, but it all makes sense that this is the way it's going right now. It all makes total sense to me that this weather anomaly was created to fit the scenario of where we're going. Now let's go to Art in Kansas. Art, welcome to the show, friend.
If God had meant us to vote, he would have given us candidates. about this corridor.
When's the last time you voted?
Oh, I can't. Well, I do some county stuff once in a while.
I voted for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah. Did I learn something?
Uh-huh. I hope so.
Go ahead, Art.
About this corridor thing,
yes.
I hope you're aware of the Kansas City Railroad corridor to Mexico.
You mean the Kansas City Railway?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Kansas City Southern bought a Mexican railroad so they can bring up the containers right off the ships right up to Mexico, right up to Kansas City.
Yes.
They call it an inland port.
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you realize Kansas City does not have a city-county government any longer?
No.
It's a unified area. Oh, yeah, you could call it harmonized, probably, but that sounds like a complete setup for the UN.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very aware of the fact that this doesn't make any sense to us because of the, well, for the global system it does, but for us as normal people, it's just a waste of money.
Yep, I know. Also, one other thing about New Orleans.
Yes.
I heard on Joyce Riley's show this morning, somebody called in from down from New Orleans and said people living near the levee area before the flooding started heard explosions right there.
Hmm.
Whatever.
Well,
no proof.
Who knows what that can be related to.
Yeah.
Once again, we've got the scenario that they want apparently in place, and it took all the pressure off George Bush and these demonstrators at Crawford, Texas.
Oh, George Bush! But you know he has been to two parties during these 5 days.
Oh, really?
One birthday party for somebody and something else.
Huh?
It's just disgusting.
Yes, it is. And certainly the desire to reduce the population of those people down there. Huh. Apparently is being driven.
Yep. And so, I'm not sure those snipers are residents even. They could be mercenaries, UN, whatever.
Or mind controlled.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Well, thank you, Art.
All right.
Appreciate your participation.
Thank you.
All right. These situations are very, very ominous and very, very obvious to me. To create the scenario, you have to bring about the situation to bring about the result. And it's called the Hegelian dialectic. And apparently everything around us today is centered around the Hegelian dialectic that is totally unnecessary. Wars are totally unnecessary. The human beings that populate the planet, the people like ourselves in every country of the world that are innocent, want no part of this. We've got to put a stop to it, listeners. Carolyn, Arkansas, welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
And as Richard Gardner, the insider, wrote in his book back in the mid-70s, I believe it was, when they were trying to do all the CONCON, the Constitutional Conventions, and redo the state constitutions and the federal constitution,
mm-hmm.
he said, the founding fathers have just been too smart for us. He said, we're going to have to do an end run around the Constitution. And, of course, they've been doing an end run around the Constitution now for quite some time.
Yes.
And also to confirm the weather modification and manipulation, Dr. Eastland made comments about that also. And he's worked for
Dixie Ray.
Ray, yeah. She was head of the National Atomic Energy Commission, and he worked on that also, and, of course, was a scientist. But he also said that the HARP, with the HARP technology, that they not only could manipulate storms and weather, but also earthquakes. And so with the electromagnetic rays that they shoot into the ionosphere, of all the times my yard man come today, it's right now in front of my window. anyway, never fails, does it, Chris?
No, it doesn't.
but also, he said that they can use those same electromagnetic waves into the earth, of course, to cause earthquakes, and that is really interesting. But
yeah.
I want to tie in some of the, as you say, connect the dots
mm-hmm.
With some of the things that your former guest was talking about and some of your callers, and it will show you how long this has been in the planning, because I went through some of my papers. There was a lot of questions coming to my mind as I was watching the scenario in New Orleans going on, and I started to look up the executive orders that I had written back in, kind of accumulated a bunch of them in 1997 and outlined them. And from what most people don't understand, and I'll just read some of these. Entered into the Federal Registry. Now, executive orders are presidential edicts, I don't know what else you could call them, that become public law after 30 days if Congress does not challenge them. And so back in February the 16th of 1962, this was Kennedy, entered into the Federal Register, Executive Order 10995, which takes over the communication and media of the country. 10997 takes over all the electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. Executive Order 10998 is a takeover of food, resources, and farms. And this one, of course, is what you all have been talking about, and that's the highways. Executive Order 10990 takes over all of the modes of transportation and control of highways and seaports.
Mm-hmm.
Executive Order, now these are all Kennedy still. Executive Order 11000 provides for mobilization of civilians into work brigades under government supervision.
Well, that's on the horizon, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And remember, back in the Iran-Contra hearings, when Congressman Gonzalez and Congressman Jack Brooks were trying to expose those civilian work camps.
Rex 84.
Yes, and Senator in no way would allow them to say that.
Yeah, Senator in no way. That's good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
He kept cutting them off at the pass every time they tried to bring it up. But indeed, he was. They were trying to expose that before the world on those national hearings.
Absolutely, and isn't it amazing you say, Senator, in no way.
Yeah, because that was his operandi.
That was his statement. In no way are you going to make that statement.
That's right. And he said, well, you'll have to do this. We can have a...
Behind
closed doors committee hearing on this.
There you go.
But we can't do that. We can't discuss this on television.
There you go.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Well, anyway, it goes. The Kennedy EOs go on. 11001 provides for government takeover of health, education, and welfare functions. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Executive Order 11003 provides for the government takeover of airports and aircraft. And this one will really hit really close to home to what's happening. Executive Order 11004 provides for, and this ties in, Chris, with Agenda 21, because it provides for the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations.
Okay, stay with us. We'll continue on the other side. Connecting the dots is what we do here. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth.
Research listeners, 2 hours and 35 minutes ago, listen to this. So many homeless Louisiana residents are arriving in Houston on Friday that city officials opened two more giant centers to accommodate overflow from the Astrodome. Buses are temporarily turned away from the Astrodome, already packed with more than 15,000 people. Because of safety and crowd concerns, the city is expected to receive at least 25,000 people displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Or as Chertoff would say, Katarina. Mayor Bill White on Friday said the city's convention center and an exhibition hall at the Reliance Center would accept hurricane refugees, and conventions for the coming weeks would be canceled. But the mass of people having to be distributed throughout the country, and Carol, you're just connecting that dot as we went to commercial pause. Carol.
Yes. Hello.
Right.
Yes, that's Kennedy's Executive Order 11004, which provides for relocating these people and building new towns at public expense. And I'll connect some more of those dots for you in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his Executive Order 11005 provides for the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. And then we move on to President Nixon after Kennedy, and as most everybody knows that he passed the executive order instituting the 10 regions or the regional government.
Richard Nixon.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was not really much talked about or much done about except until the Clintons came in. And if you remember when Hillary was writing the national health regulations for the health care,
right.
One of the things she did was regionalize that care. And, of course, we're in Region 6, and Dallas would be our headquarters. But it was like Nixon's executive order is what she was using. And then also Clinton, tying also some of that same Nixon EO together, in his 13083 was provisions which talks about states' rights and exceptions to the rule whereby the federal government can step in and intercede in the states when decentralization increases the cost of government, thus imposing additional burdens on taxpayers. Excuse me here now. I thought we were a decentralized government by design, and that was what's best for the people. Local government, state, county, and city.
Mm.
But under what they're saying, that's a real really a burden. Yeah, it's a burden to them because it's been a problem for them to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
But Nixon, as you recall, then he did the regional order, and then he did in August before he got into all that trouble. He wrote an executive order that was announced a state of national emergency, declared in August, legalized the imposition of executive orders and other directives under the guise of, quote, a time of increased international tension and or economic or financial crises.
Mm.
All right, now, then you had him going out of office, and then in came Ford, and he wrote, in the meantime, because of Nixon's scandals or getting kicked out, of leaving office under pressure of impeachment or a threat of impeachment, Congress revisited this executive order thing in his state of emergency, and they wrote the National Emergency Act or something. Anyway, basically, they abolished his executive order.
Mm-hmm.
So then in comes Ford, and they said his executive order 11921 declared that Congress cannot review any matter of national emergency for a period of 6 months. I mean, if it's a national emergency, you can't talk about it for 6 months. Isn't that convenient?
Oh, boy.
And so then you had Jimmy Carter come in, and he just undid what the Congress had done in reversing the power of those executive orders. And he wrote an executive order that, let me see here just a minute, I've got it written down. It reversed the executive order establishment, and he established FEMA. And it was first called FEPA, Federal Emergency Planning Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And then it developed into, FEMA under...
Carter?
Carter, yeah, Carter... Yeah, he did. He had instituted as FEMA, and it had formerly been FEPA. That's the way it was.
There it is. Yeah.
And so then you had George Bush. Let me tell you what happened to it under Reagan. Under what happened to FEMA.
Hurry up! We got a full board here.
Okay, FEMA. After the congressional scrutiny, Reagan issued a presidential decision directive that says that FEMA will be under the NSA. Well, that took it totally out of the scrutiny. I mean, that's the top secret black ops deal.
There you go. Well, Carol, I appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, I just think it's just all what's going on. Then you see George Bush and his Homeland Security. I've got his White House. I've got two copies of White House executive orders under George Bush.
We'll have to bring you up next week on a show, Carol, I think. At this point, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Where the revolutionary...
It's very important to realize how this is being engineered, and the public is not being told about what's going on. And here we see from City Mayor's Environment, that's the website, citymayors.com, listeners, that's citymayors.com. San Francisco mayor proclaims urban environmental movement. Mayors from around the globe took the historic step of signing the Urban Environmental Accords on 5 June 2005 in the rotunda of San Francisco City Hall, in recognition of United Nations World Environment Day 2005. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom said, "What we have accomplished here will change the world." Quote, "What we started here is only the beginning, the start of a new way of thinking about our Earth, and the start of a new global environmental grassroots movement focused on cities," the mayor stressed. So once again, listeners, in 1945, the original 50 founding delegates signed the UN Charter in San Francisco. Most, if not all of those, were members of the Council on Foreign Relations, listeners. Quote, "Today, Mayor Newsom has brought together 50 of the largest and most visionary cities on the planet to chart a new and bold course toward urban environmental sustainability, end quote, said Jared Blumenfeld, or Blumenfeld, director of the San Francisco Environment Department. One by one, each mayor stepped forward to sign the Accords document, which sets out 21 specific actions for sustainable urban living. The Accords address 7 environmental areas common to the world's largest cities: water, energy, waste, urban design, transportation, urban nature, and environmental health. What are they talking about here, listeners? Agenda 21. I move down a paragraph, and callers, bear with me, please. The Accords are the result of a year-long partnership of cities, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, ECLI, the United Nations Environment Program, the University of California, Berkeley, environmental nonprofits and businesses, mayors participating in the World Environment Day conference met for 5 days in Accord sessions to debate language and implementation of the Accords and to share best practices and ideas. The mayors toured San Francisco's state-of-the-art facility where 67% of all waste generated in the city is recycled. And certainly I don't see that as a bad thing. It's just being crammed on our throats by the UN system, which is the problem. But evidently they think that if they don't cram it down our throats, we won't implement it. And certainly I can understand certain people's thought patterns about that. But understanding Agenda 21 and where it goes and what it does, it takes away your freedom, listeners. Ultimately, we will have no freedom to think on our own, to do on our own, to travel on our own, unless we want to travel on a bicycle. Let's move to Todd in Kansas. Todd, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, I spoke to you earlier today about this form I received in the mail today from the county Emergency Management Office.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wanting all this information to comply in time, in the required time, to Mitigation 2020, trademarked, you know, that's Agenda 21.
Yes.
Right there. Now, since I talked to you, I looked this over a little closer, and your last caller had said FEPA.
Yes.
Now, this is what I received today, is copywritten in 2002 by Emergency Response Planning and Management Incorporated. This sounds like it's been privatized maybe a little bit, but... what's really suspicious about this, I noticed, was that the cover letter is dated June 23rd, 2005, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows up right now, a week almost since Katrina.
Yes.
Now, the questions that are asked in here, even down to the GSI coordinates of the facility that you may own, that you may run, it goes into everything you can possibly imagine about vulnerability assessment, on, even down to expansive soils, to volcanoes. I mean, everything you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe at the end of this, where it gets into agricultural impact, the whole nine yards of your area, that... They're gathering this information to see what kind of disaster would do the most damage to that area.
Makes sense to me.
Oh yeah, because this, you know, the dates on here are just like we're going to send these out now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're not to send those out until because of the cover letter date, and then the return envelope is dated August 30th, 2005. And it's over 2 months old on the cover letter, like it's been waiting to go, and pre-stamped on the return of when it's about time it's going to be coming back.
Mm.
And, you know, you look at